Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Now, streaming live on the Marijuana Agenda.
Oh, really? What are you people? On dope?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio.
Hey, this is great, man.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug. That is absurd.
Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Hey, man. Am I driving okay?
Toker Talk Radio is your chance to make your voice heard in the marijuana nation.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
Send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Now let's get to Toking and Talking with your host, Russ Belville.
All right, welcome everybody. We made it to the weekend. It's our last hour of this week on the Marijuana Agenda. And big thanks to all of you who've been sponsors. Fulton, thanks for signing on with your $4.20 a month pledge. I want to thank Sid in the chat room who dropped $4.20 in the YouTube chat. Appreciate that as well. Every little $4.20 helps, man. And I tell you, the goal is to get this up to $420 a month. That's our first platform. I'll be breaking even if we can get it to $420 a month. If we can go beyond that, well, we'll do a whole bunch more, that's for sure. Quick update on that Massachusetts bill. We talked about how the House in Massachusetts was looking to gut what the people had passed in their legalization initiative there in the Bay State. Most alarmingly, they proposed raising the tax on cannabis, which would be a combined 12% because it includes, I think it's like 5.75% between state and local tax, and then adds the state sales tax of 6.25. So 12% total, which would be the lowest in the nation as far as taxes go. But the House proposed that that tax should be up to 28%, more than double what the people voted for. Well, now we get breaking news that the Senate has released the draft version of their bill. We got this from a couple of websites up at WBUR, public radio there in Massachusetts, as well as Mass Live from the Boston Globe, I think, runs that one. But according to the WBUR report, Pat Jalen, the Senate chair of the Marijuana Policy Committee, says her chamber's bill stays at 12% for two reasons. Number one, because that's what the voters voted for. Hey, what an idea. Let's stay with what the voters voted for. Yeah. I mean, what the hell? Let's take a shot at it. It's not like we do that very often. Who knows? Maybe it'll turn out good. So, yeah, she says, quote, or he says, I don't know if it's a male or a female, Pat, quote, "One of the problems we face in this country is a lack of trust in government. The Senate bill preserves the will of the voters." And she says, he says, Jalen says, I don't know, male or female, that raising the tax rate would fuel the existing black market, saying, quote, "The illegal market thrives if there are high taxes and low access." What? What? Oh, my God. You can't actually be a lawmaker. You're making sense. So for this low access problem, Jalen says the Senate would not agree to delay the opening of retail marijuana stores beyond the current date of July 2018. See, the House version wants to push that off as well, push it out, you know, even later, kick the can down the road. There are some hurdles as far as getting to that date. They've got to reconcile the House and Senate bills, and July 1st is their deadline to reconcile the two bills, and they're far apart on a few of these items. In addition to the tax rate, where the House wants 28%, the Senate wants 12%, the Senate and the House don't agree on whether or not cities and towns can ban the sale of legal weed. The Senate bill, once again, follows the will of the people. Yeah, follows the will of the people and says the people have to vote to ban pot businesses, because that's what the initiative said. You want to? It's okay if you want to ban a pot business, but you got to have a vote of the people. Whereas the House, under pressure from city officials, gave leaders the authority to decide if retail stores would be allowed. Just let the city council vote on it. Let the town selectmen vote on it. You know, rather than having to get a majority of the population, which again passed this legalization with like, what, 54%? Rather than having to go to that arduous task, Let's just let, you know, 3 out of 5 selectmen or 4 out of 7 aldermen or whatever the hell they are in Massachusetts. Let's let a small body of political people who are being pressured by their local business associations and their church groups, and their anti-drug groups, the law enforcement. Let's let them handle banning. Well, we know how that turns out. You let the city councils ban on their own, and despite what the people want, they'll go ahead and do these bans, which is great if you're an underground weed dealer. You're like, hey, great, less competition. That's awesome. So there's a few other things. Mass Live points out that both versions would still have possession and home growing that the voters approved, up to 12 plants a household. Both would move oversight of medical marijuana from the Department of Public Health to the new Cannabis Control Commission. Both of them would keep medical marijuana untaxed. Both of them are pretty close on how the Cannabis Commission would be governed. The Senate wants to have more control to the commission. It wants the commission to have more control on advertising, packaging, and labeling. And both the House and Senate include the creation of the commission to study the effects of driving under the influence of marijuana. That's our update on the Massachusetts bill. And when we come back, the sad verdict in the Philando Castile case.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Putting together the most comprehensive live weekday marijuana news talk program is a full-time job. Now you can do your part to ensure that listener-supported independent cannabis radio journalism can continue by becoming a patron of The Marijuana Agenda. Just log on to mjagenda.com and click the Become a Patron button. For your $4.20 monthly donation, you'll receive over 20 hours of original first-hour podcasts, plus other materials only available to paid subscribers. Or for just $9.99 a month, become a VIP patron. You'll get over 40 hours of podcasts for the complete program, including Toker Talk Radio, plus ad-free downloads of the segments heard on The Marijuana Agenda. Plus, VIPs get exclusive access to the video replay of the 2-hour live stream show and downloads of the spreadsheets and charts I provide from my years of curating marijuana data sets. Thank you for your support, and remember, I cannot do it without you. Please become a patron today at mjagenda.com. And now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
Hey, Ellen, want a hit?
Want to smoke a joint before trying this on?
Here you go, Ellen. You want to get high? We got some great Thai stick in the back.
Smoke. Smoke. Thai buds. Sensei.
Love this stuff. It'll get you really high.
To combat this sort of reefer madness, listen to The Marijuana Agenda every weekday at mjagenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the gay agenda, only with better music.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Cannabis Sports Medicine from the Gridiron Cannabis Coalition. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Well, folks, it has happened once again. Once again, we have had the killing of a black man by a police officer filmed on video. And once again, that police officer has gotten away with it scot-free, no punishment whatsoever. This, of course, is the case of Philando Castile in Minnesota. The officer, Geronimo Yanez, who shot and killed Philando Castile as his girlfriend was live streaming it on Facebook, was found not guilty of second-degree manslaughter, reports CNN. Also acquitted of two counts of intentional discharge of a firearm that endangers safety. The family was distraught, screaming in the courtroom, escorted out by officers. And outside the court, the mother of Philando Castile, Valerie Castile, said she was disappointed in the state of Minnesota, quote, because nowhere in the world do you die from being honest and telling the truth. The system continues to fail black people. My son loved this city, and this city killed my son, and the murderer gets away. Are you kidding me right now? We're not evolving as a civilization. We're devolving. We're going back down to 1969. What is it going to take? End quote. Now, this was a case where the jury deliberated for 29 hours. There was 2 weeks of testimony about the July 6th traffic stop, in which Officer Yanez pulled over the car that was driven by Castile and his girlfriend, Diamond Reynolds, and her 4-year-old daughter were passengers in the car. So remember, this guy was shot in the driver's seat with a 4-year-old in the car. An audio recording captured Castile telling Yanez he had a gun in the car, and the officer telling Castile not to reach for it, and seconds later, Yanez opened fire. Now, prosecutors portrayed Yanez as a nervous officer who lost control of his traffic stop, too quick to pull the trigger, based on an unreasonable suspicion that he was a robbery suspect. Yanez testified he feared for his life because Castile put his hand on his firearm despite being instructed not to. I didn't want to shoot Mr. Castile, he testified. That wasn't my intention. I thought I was going to die. Now, oftentimes I get on these rants about police and Black Lives Matter and these issues, and some people might wonder, all right, well, that's a terrible thing, but what does it have to do with marijuana? This is a marijuana show? Well, in many of these cases, marijuana prohibition factors into it. With the Michael Brown case, where he was supposedly getting cigarillos to roll a blunt. In this case, the defense lawyers for the police officer alleged that Castile had been smoking marijuana on the day of the shooting, which they say affected his judgment. And I just retweeted a meme from Minnesota Normal that says, repeat after me, marijuana is not an excuse for murder. This case is reverberating throughout the country. Castile was bleeding heavily in the Facebook video, but managed to say he wasn't reaching for his gun, which he had a permit to carry. I want the National Rifle Association. I want the NRA on my television speaking to all the news, all the national news media. I want to see that Wayne LaPierre on the Sunday news shows critiquing, criticizing, and condemning the police killing of Philando Castile, a lawfully licensed gun owner. You think we're going to see that? You think we're going to see the NRA sticking up for Philando Castile, a guy who was lawfully exercising his Second Amendment rights? I wouldn't hold my breath. A statement was issued saying that his girlfriend, first of all, his girlfriend says he wasn't reaching for his gun. He was reaching for his ID in his back pocket. So we have one of these cases of he said, she said, officer says, oh, he reached for his gun. He touched his gun. The woman who is live streaming the death of her boyfriend on Facebook with her 4-year-old in the back seat says he was reaching for his ID. You decide who to believe. A statement was issued that said Castile was pulled over because he, quote, had a wide nose, end quote, had a wide nose, like the robbery suspect who was being sought, had a wide nose. Quote, he did nothing but comply with Officer Yanez's instructions to get his driver's license. He was seatbelted and doing as he was told when he was shot by Officer Yanez, who fired 7 shots into the vehicle where my daughter and I also sat. It is a sad state of affairs when this type of criminal conduct is condoned simply because Yanez is a policeman. God help America. Now, keep in mind, the killing of Philando Castile happened just a day after the killing of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, also partially caught on video. Last month, the federal government announced there will be no prosecution of the officers in that killing either. Now, the charges Yanez had faced for the killing of Castile could have been 10 years in prison and $20,000 fine. Instead, he will walk away scot-free. He was released from the police force, but not fired. Not fired. The city of St. Anthony, where he worked, the police department there, released a statement saying, quote, the city of St. Anthony has concluded that the public will be best served if Officer Yanez is no longer a police officer in our city. The city intends to offer Officer Yanez a voluntary separation agreement to help him transition to another career other than being a St. Anthony officer. Not other than being an officer, mind you. We're not saying this guy should no longer be a cop. Just not in St. Anthony. Just move on to some other police department. You know, kind of like how the... Well, never mind. I'll leave that one alone. Voluntary separation agreement. Oh, we're so sorry that killing the black man messed up your little career, and we'll help as much as we can to make sure that your life isn't too terribly impacted. The NAACP, the ACLU, and Amnesty International have all criticized the verdict. NAACP Legal Defense Fund Director Counsel Sherilyn Eiffel, I wonder if she's related to the late Gwen Eiffel. Sherilyn Eiffel said the jury's decision shows how difficult it is to prosecute a police officer in a fatal shooting. Quote, this incident seems so egregious and avoidable that we hope that this time it might be different. This time, justice might be served. Because if the government can take your life and no one is held responsible, you're a second-class citizen, if not fully dehumanized in the eyes of the law. That is the devastating message this verdict, along with all those similar acquittals before it, sends to communities of color across the nation. And I think of this, I think of this story and so many others, and I can't help but think of a car, a white sedan that is parked literally a block away from where I'm doing this show right now. I see it on the, I live on Sherman Street, studios on Sherman Street. Next cross street is 130th, and on 130th and Sherman here in Portland, you can drive by and see it if you're here in Portland and want to see it. On 130th Sherman, there's a white sedan with big black letters as big as the car door all across the driver's side of the car. Black letters on a white sedan, all caps that says, All Lives Matter. I just, it's amazing to me how tone deaf and how little empathy people still have around this issue. Nobody's saying that all lives don't matter. We're saying that right now, when you have acquittal after acquittal after acquittal of the state cops killing unarmed black men in unavoidable killings, that we have to say Black Lives Matter. That's the point, is that we actually have to say that. We actually have to remind people of that, because apparently the evidence is showing that as far as our society is concerned, they don't matter as much. And this is part of the war on drugs. The war on drugs has been a tool that helps enforce and strengthen the white supremacy that has this country was built upon. Marijuana was used again in this trial to try to demonize and defame the victim of the killing. Marijuana is being used to roust communities of color to be able to post occupying forces in their neighborhoods, and a quick and easy way to unlock people's Fourth Amendment rights and give them a quick stop and frisk.
Could it be?
All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got my latest Radical Rant column up at High Time, so you get a bonus. We're going to do a Radical Rant when we return.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
And now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
McGruff here. If someone asks you to try drugs, think of me and say what I'd say. And to help you, have one of these masks.
Well, thanks, McGruff.
Now, what are you going to say if someone asks you to try drugs?
My mom and dad told me not to, and I wouldn't lie to them.
Sensational.
Don't use drugs. Don't use drugs.
Here's how you can get a free mask. And on the back are more ways to say no and help me take a bite out of crime.
To combat this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at mjagenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda. Like the pharmaceutical agenda, without all the side effects, overdose, deaths, insurance.
Side effects may include nausea, dry mouth, and constipation. Dry mouth, constipation, indigestion, and abdominal pain.
Which can occur without warning and may cause death.
I'm Russ Belville with the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for Cultivator's Corner with Jorge Cervantes from MarijuanaGrowing.com. Learn more at MJAgenda.com/about.
Total war against public enemy public number one.
10 federal criminal penalties for up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
Marijuana is probably the most dangerous drug.
Legalization is just another word for surrender.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
This is not medicine. This is a Cheech and Chong show.
Encourage people to use less drugs. Use less
I am
drugs.
That was the point.
I think it would be a mistake to leave the state.
Negative reports coming out of Colorado.
Don't smoke marijuana.
Erica Marie Tucker is a young Texas mother of five and a five-time convicted felon as of Tuesday. What did this married, hardworking, church-going mom with zero criminal history do to end up with such a hardcore rap sheet? She breastfed her child. See, Erica suffers from a seizure disorder. Not something she's lived with all her life. Rather, it's a condition that has developed fairly recently. Erica, like many in America, is working class and struggling just to meet the monthly bills. She was without any health care coverage when these seizures came on. As poor folks are forced to do, she turned to the hospital emergency room to care for her most severe grand mal seizures, the kind that can be fatal. In desperation, Erica turned to cannabis for relief. She hadn't been a pot smoker. The cannabis culture was not really a part of this Bible study teacher's world. Erica's trips to the hospital had gone without incident until one day she ended up at a Johnson County hospital she had never been to. Following treatment for her latest grand mal seizures, and still in a daze, hospital officials began peppering Erica with questions. "Are you pregnant or considering pregnancy?" they asked, which Erica denied. "Are you breastfeeding?" they asked, which Erica confirmed. Erica finished up at the hospital and went home. About an hour later, officials from Texas's Department of Child Protective Services, or CPS, were knocking at her door. THC had been detected in Erica's system by the hospital, and they alerted CPS to the fact that Erica was still breastfeeding her child. CPS took Erica's children. CPS alleged she had endangered her child's well-being by passing along THC to it in her breast milk. So in order to get her children back, Erica and her husband were required to take a drug awareness class, and then a parenting class, and then a budgeting class, and then required to participate in couples counseling, all at their expense. Erica was required to pass urine screens and hair tests to prove she was no longer using cannabis for her seizure control. Now, fortunately, a kind nurse at the hospital helped Erica find coupons for a pharmaceutical she now takes for her seizures that has the side effects that have made her fatigued, heavier, nauseous, dizzy, and given her headaches. Erica was also required to undergo a mental exam to prove she was competent to care for her children. Erica's children were interviewed extensively, with CPS leading them along on questions about inappropriate touching, followed by physical exams of the kids. The entire ordeal cost Erica and her husband over half a year without their children. Never once during this time were police involved. No evidence of pot or paraphernalia was ever collected from Erica or her home. No evidence of abuse of her children was ever found. This all occurred based on a hospital choosing to drug test a mother who'd come in because of a seizure that then called CPS because she says she breastfeeds and they found THC in her system, period. CPS referred the case to the Johnson County judicial system, which brought Erica before a judge who explained how the court did not want to send her to jail. She got a lawyer who, for just $10,000, negotiated a deal to keep her out of prison. All she had to do is plead guilty to 5 counts of felony child endangerment. 5 counts. Not 1 count for the alleged endangerment of the young child receiving THC through Erica's breast milk. 5 counts. One for each of her children, even the preteens, who were allegedly endangered by living in a home with a mother who was breastfeeding THC to the youngest one of them. Why would Johnson County apply such a draconian penalty to Erica? Because during the time her children were taken from her, a judge had told Erica and her husband not to talk publicly about the case. Instead, they went very public about being persecuted for medical cannabis use, posting their travails on Facebook, starting a blog, speaking to the media, and delivering public speeches at Texas cannabis rallies. Now, Erica must serve 5 years of probation, work 130 hours of community service, pay a $250 fine with court fees, take another drug class, take another parenting class, take random drug tests, that means, of course, no cannabis medicine, and pay $88 a month to fund these requirements. Of course, as a convicted felon in Texas, she is no longer allowed to possess a firearm for the rest of her life. She's lost her right to vote during her probation. And for the rest of her life, this mother of five not only cannot run a licensed child care center, provide child care in her home, or adopt or host foster kids, she cannot even be present at a licensed child care center, all for being a breastfeeding mom who smoked a little pot to deal with her seizures.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Hi, I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Putting together the most comprehensive live weekday marijuana news talk program is a full-time job. Now you can do your part to ensure that listener-supported independent cannabis radio journalism can continue by becoming a patron of the Marijuana Agenda. Just log on to MJAgenda.com and click the Become a Patron button. If you're an organization or business looking to promote your brand, we have sponsorship patronage available at MJAgenda.com. Sponsorship includes 15 and 30 second ad breaks and 6 minute interviews on the podcast, depending on sponsorship level, which begins at $19.99 a month. Thank you for your support, and remember, I cannot do it without you. Please become a patron today at MJAgenda.com.
And now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
Oh, hey everybody, it's me, Mr. Bell. Hey! And you know, when you're in the entertainment business, you have to be traveling coast to coast all the time.
Say, Mr. Bill, you've got a long trip ahead of you. You'll need something to help keep you awake.
Well, I've been really trying to cut down on my coffee lately.
Then how about some drugs?
Oh, no! Drugs are bad, and you kids out there should never, ever use them.
Oh, come on, try some. So remember, kids, say...
Oh, go!
To drugs.
To combat this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at MJAgenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the Alcohol Agenda. But a lot safer.
I'm Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for the Freedom Leaf Preview with Steve Bloom from Freedom Leaf Magazine. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm just checking out the chat room here on YouTube, and there's a lively discussion going on after my discussion of Philando Castile and Black Lives Matter and such. And I want to make it clear that there are people who say things and they mean them in the best way, and they're saying them in a way that they feel is enlightened and bringing an important part of the discussion to the table. But it's tone deaf. It's tone deaf, and it's misunderstanding some of the context of what's going on. And I want to be clear, because sometimes we're too quick to say, oh, that person's a racist. Oh, that person's racist because of what they said. I am, like, declaring someone a racist is something I hold way, way back on. Like, I got to have some severe proof. I got to really see some severe proof before I'll call you a racist, because I think it's one of the worst, most disgusting things you can be. Okay. So I want to address what's going on in the chat room, because I don't know everybody in the chat room. I don't know any of these people personally, but I don't think anybody in the chat room is saying these things because of racism, or at least, let's say, conscious racism. No one's out there saying, I think this way because black people are awful. No, I don't think that's going on. But I want to address it because it's an important concept to get through. And I think too many of my fellow white people, as I discussed that car that had the All Lives Matter painted on it, say these kind of things with a tone deafness and a misunderstanding of context and the way their words are being misinterpreted or interpreted by people of color. And again, let's go with a disclaimer that I am a person of zero color. I'm as fish belly white as you can get in the Pacific Northwest with an extra side of mayo. Okay. So take this with a grain of very white salt. But the way I understand, the way it was explained to me, first of all, when people are saying all lives matter, I think what's happening is that a white person hears and sees Black Lives Matter, and what they perceive is Black Lives Matter and nobody else, or Black Lives Matter more than everybody else. And that's not what that says. That's not in there at all. But I think a lot of white people hear that or feel that. Like, hey, I'm not racist. I don't hate black people. What's this Black Lives Matter? I mean, my life matters. My kids' lives matters. They're white people. What are you saying? My white friends and my white lives don't matter? No. That's not what people are saying. Here's the little anecdote or the little metaphor, I guess, that was explained to me. Imagine you had four kids. Maybe you do have four kids. But imagine you got four kids. And you take the four kids out for a day of fun. And the first thing you do is you go to Disneyland. And you go to Disneyland with your four kids. And you get to the ride, whatever ride, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, Space Mountain, I don't care. You go to the ride, the Matterhorn, I don't care. You go to the ride at Disneyland, and you buy three tickets. And one for yourself. You take three of your kids on the ride, you get on the ride with your three kids, you leave your fourth kid sitting there, your fourth kid doesn't get to go on the ride. The rest of you go on the ride, you have a good time. You're done with the ride, you collect your four kids, you go to the cotton candy stand. And you buy three cotton candies, one for each of the kids you took on the ride. But the fourth kid, you don't give him any cotton candy. Now, eventually, the fourth kid sees the other three kids getting to go on the roller coasters and getting to eat cotton candy and getting dad's buying them, you know, little trinkets. And the fourth kid's getting nothing. And eventually the fourth kid goes, Daddy, Daddy, don't I deserve to go on the roller coaster? Don't I deserve to get some cotton candy? Don't I deserve the little Pokemon that you bought? You got it for the other three kids. Don't I deserve the same? Now imagine you as the dad turns to your fourth kid and you pat your fourth kid on the head and say, there, there, honey. All kids deserve to go on the Ferris wheel. All kids deserve cotton candy. All kids deserve to get a Pokemon. That's what All Lives Matter sounds like to black people. It sounds like a white person saying, well, of course, well, all lives matter. Us white people who aren't getting shot, and if we do, the cops get prosecuted for it. And the black people who are getting shot by the cops and nobody ever goes to jail. We all matter equally. When obviously we don't matter equally. That's the whole point of it. Anyway, I had to address that. Could not let that sit. So I'm not even going to look at the chat room because I don't want to get too much more embroiled in it. And I love each and every one of you out there. I just had to make that absolutely clear. All right. I'm still on that. I got so carried away, I didn't move the radical rant video. Okay, so now we're back. Let me talk about this next story, because this is actually a little more fun, a little less serious. And it's from our Drug Enforcement Administration, which has released a list of drug slang, common drug slang. And by the way, this isn't new. The DEA has had this list since the beginning of the Controlled Substances Act and the formation of the DEA, and they update it every year, right? So it's like their little lexicon, their little guidebook to what the kids are saying now, you know, like crazy kids with their slang about drugs. So here's some of the list. Giggle smoke. Anybody out there going to the dispensary? You know, hey, man, give me your best giggle smoke. Smoochie, woochie, poochie. Yeah, I think Senator Alan Simpson of the Snoopy Poop Dog fame, I think he's into Smoochy Woochy Poochy. How about lime pillows? Lime pillows. Hey, Bob. Bob, man, it's Tom. I want to make an order of some, you know, lime pillows. Really? Christmas tree? Okay, I can see tree. People talk about tree. You know, that's cool. Some of this, though, is absolutely ridiculous. First of all, they within the marijuana slang terms, they put Girl Scout cookies, which is not a marijuana slang term. It's the name of a particular strain. And they do that with a few of these here. They have a few of the different particular strains, like Acapulco Gold is listed as a slang term for marijuana when it's really, you know, for a specific kind of marijuana, man. And then there's others that they use that, like, the slang is 40 years old. Like, if you're busting a 70-year-old drug smuggler, they might be using you know, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, or Reefer, you know. So let me go through some of these. And they got a pretty list. They got a list of not just marijuana, but they've got a list of slang terms for marijuana concentrates, which they say include 246, BHO, batter, butter, butter, dabs, earwax, earl, honey oil, sap, shatter, and wax. I'm like, wait a minute, 246? What the? Where's 710? Like, 710 is not in the list. 420 is in the list for weed, but 710 is not in the list for marijuana concentrates. And instead, they're giving us 246. What? Where did that come from? I know a lot of people in this movement and a lot of concentrate makers. I've never heard anybody call dabs 246. I don't even know what that means. Let's take a look at some of the marijuana slang terms. You got some of the typical 420, like they mentioned. Ace. Ace is apparently a name for weed. Airplane. Airplane. Yeah, give me some airplane, man. I need to get me some airplane. Alice B. Toklas. Now, I know that term because I'm an old guy. Maybe some of my listeners know that term because they're older guys or gals. What kid these days is calling weed Alice B. Toklas? Nobody. Animal cookies. Arizona. Arizona is a name for weed, apparently. Hey, man, I need to get me some Arizona. Barbara Jean. Yeah, I know Mary Jane. What? Barbara Jean? Okay. Bernie. Bernie is slang for weed, apparently, according to the DEA. Big pillows. That's slang for something else, actually. That's not slang for weed. Although if you have the right kind of weed, you might be able to find you some big pillows. Ba-dum-bum. Blondie. Blondie is a term for weed, apparently. I thought it was one of the best new wave bands of the 80s, but okay. I like this one. I gotta like this one. Burritos Verdes. That's right. Burritos Verdes, the green burrito. That's good. I think we should get us some Burritos Verdes. I like that. That's a good one. What else we got here? Cabbage, catnip. Those make sense, right? Some of these are just strains like Chernobyl, cheese, cookies, you know, so forth. Crazy weed, creeper bud, crying weed. Man, give me some crying weed. Oh, that's awful. All right. What? Dojo. Diz. Diz is a term for weed. I don't know. That sounds like Cab Calloway's term for weed. I don't know. Diz. Fuzzy lady. Gato. Spanish for cat. Why is gato? I don't know. Good giggles. Get some good giggles. Get some green-eyed girl. Get some Greta. We'll have to tell Greta Gaines about that. Greta is now a slang term for weed. Gummy bears. Now, I don't know if the DEA is trying to say gummy bears is a slang term for weed or that there are now weed-infused gummy bears, but I've never heard anyone call weed gummy bears. Hairy ones. Hairy ones. I even if that is a slang term for weed, I don't want it. I don't want any weed called hairy ones. That doesn't sound right to me. They got jive in there. Jive is still in the list since, 1906 or something. Jolly Green. I can understand that. That might make sense. Some Juan Valdez. Juan Valdez, now a slang term for weed. I always thought Juan Valdez was coffee, right? Oh, well. Laughing grass. Laughing grass. That's for the younger kids who don't know just grass. You gotta call it laughing grass. There's lime pillows again. Love lime pillows. Loaf. There's a good name for weed. Loaf. I can give me some loaf, man. I need some loaf. Marianne, Mary Jane, Mary Jones, Mary Warner, Mary Weaver. Of course, those all make some sense, right? Mooty. M-O-O-T-I-E. Mooty. Gotta smoke some Mooty. Mowing the lawn. Now that's got to be slang for smoking marijuana, man. I'm gonna go out and mow the lawn, right? You dig, brother? I'm gonna cut some grass, man. Now they've got Muggie on here, M-U-G-G-I-E, but I think it should be Muggle. Make sure, maybe my eyesight's going, maybe I'm just not seeing that correctly. No, they've got it as Muggie. Okay. Narizona, because if Arizona wasn't a weed slang enough, now you can put an N on the front of it, and it's Narizona. Pakalolo, of course, Hawaiian for marijuana is in the list. That makes some sense. What else we got here? Ragweed, railroad weed. Okay. Rainy Day Woman. Now that makes sense because of Dylan song, Rainy Day Woman, number 12 and 35, which, by the way, that's the song, if you don't know, the one that says, everybody must get stoned, right? That's Rainy Day Woman, number 12 and 35. By the way, 12 times 35. 420. What else do we got in the list? Queen Anne's Lace, Righteous Bush. Righteous Bush sounds like a critique of a Playboy centerfold from the 1970s, doesn't it? Righteous Bush. Sativa as a slang term for weed. Okay. Slang term for one type of weed. Sure. White haired lady, yellow submarine. Okay, and if you mix it with PCP, you can call it Zoom. There you go. There's your DEA official declassified intelligence report on drug slang code words dated May 2017. Your tax dollars at work collecting booty juice, that's for MDMA, brain ticklers, that's for amphetamines, crazy candy with K, crazy with a K, candy with a K. That's supposedly synthetic marijuana. Some of these are just a little crazy. I like some of the amphetamine slang words. Lid poppers. Yes, some lid poppers. Goofballs. Got the goofballs. That's an old one. A lot of slang terms for cocaine. Runs almost two pages worth of cocaine. All sorts of interesting ones here. Fentanyl, which we've heard about so much as part of this opiate epidemic, going by the name of Jackpot, King Ivory, China White, Tango and Cash. Tango and Cash, really? Okay. It might be the only lasting effect from that movie. Okay. Klonopin, LSD has a whole bunch of names. Some I've never heard. Jesus Christ Acid. Gotta find me some of that. They got names for marijuana, mushrooms, opium, oxycodone, PCP, Percocet, peyote, Ritalin, synthetic cannabinoids. Oh, here's your synthetic weed, your K2, all of that. There's the crazy candy and Scooby snacks, zombie, voodoo child, clockwork orange, G-force. Crazy. All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, one more update on the Miley Cyrus story. You know, the woman who says she's smoked more weed than anybody ever. Right. Be right back.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association and the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
And now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
Look at this. The marijuana can mess you up.
Right. We've been getting high for what? 15 years? Nothing's ever happened. Did I get into all the drugs and start mugging people? Nah. Didn't do anything. In fact, I'd say I'm exactly the same as when I smoked my first joint.
Eddie, did you even look for a job today?
No, Ma.
Marijuana can make nothing happen to you, too.
To combat this sort of reefer madness, listen to The Marijuana Agenda every weekday at mjagenda.com.
The Marijuana Agenda, like the conservative agenda, minus the hypocrisy.
I'm Russ Belville from The Marijuana Agenda. Join me every 4 weeks for our Government at Work, the latest in cannabis reform at the local, state, federal, and international level. Learn more at mjagenda.com/about.
Pod 2.0.
It's not your father's Woodstock weed.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everybody, as we wind things up here at Delta 9 Studios. A few quick stories to run back over. First, Fox News is reporting on Miley Cyrus's recent appearance on Jimmy Fallon's show, where she said she's stopped smoking weed because she wants to be clear about the messages she's sending in her new album. And that she'd been high all the time and done his show high all the time. And she was way too high. And she smoked more weed than anybody ever. More than Willie Nelson, more than Snoop Dogg, more than Bob Marley. Miley Cyrus smoked more weed than anybody ever. Well, anyway, the headline on Fox News is Miley Cyrus quit smoking marijuana because she thought it would kill her. I missed this when I was reporting on this yesterday. I wanted to make sure we got this out. Miley Cyrus was afraid weed would kill her. She told Jimmy Fallon, quote, "I kept having this nightmare. It was seriously horrible. I had this dream that I would die during my monologue on SNL for some reason. That I would just get so stoned that I just died. Which I Googled, and that's never happened." Cyrus says she was worried despite discovering no one's ever died from weed because, quote, "No one has ever smoked as much as I did, so they don't really know if it's possible," end quote. Miley Cyrus, you blithering idiot. You are a disgrace to pot smokers everywhere and to my chicken. Nobody's ever smoked as much as you. Nobody would, after 7,000 years of human cannabis consumption and nobody ever dying of it, we're really still not sure if that's possible because there's never been a Miley Cyrus before. Give me a break. All right, another quick update. We've covered some of the pot stocks, the penny stocks that have been out there since marijuana was legalized in Colorado and Washington State. And we've oftentimes told you the stories of how, you know, you got to be careful on these pink sheets. They're not heavily regulated. And a lot of these pot stock companies is just a lot of hot air. It's a lot of bubble. It's a lot of pump and dump. Well, those chickens are coming home to roost. According to a report in Forbes.com, the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, has filed fraud charges against Canavest, now known as CV Sciences, and its CEO, Michael Mona Jr. According to Forbes, CV Sciences currently has a market capitalization of $26 million. But back in 2013, 2014, when there was the big pot stock bubble, Canavest briefly hit a valuation of $3 billion. One of the partners was even coronated as the first pot stock billionaire. Well, according to the 22-page complaint the SEC has filed in federal court in Nevada, Mona and Canavest overstated the company's assets in 2013 by manipulating the acquisition price of a company called Phytosphere. The SEC is seeking civil penalties from both Mona and Canavest and wants Mona barred from being an officer or director of a public company. The SEC has already sued Bruce Perlowin, who likes to be known as the King of Pot, claiming he committed a long-running fraud as the CEO of Hemp Inc., evading registration provisions and selling hundreds of millions of unregistered shares. Perlowin has denied the charges and the case remains open. While reporting on Perlowin's role in inflating the pot stock bubble and his dealings with Canavest, Perlowin offered deeply discounted Canavest shares that Mona was selling in an offering to a Forbes reporter who declined them. Wow. Okay. So the big time pot stock hustlers are getting caught by the SEC, charged with fraud. We'll follow up on this as the story continues to develop. Also, story in the LA Times says pot will soon be legal in Vegas, but don't even think about lighting up on the strip. They talk about the long Independence Day weekend coming up in just a couple of weeks, and from $7 to $10, you'll be able to go into a dispensary and buy a joint. You have to be 21 or older. But according to the Las Vegas police, quote, marijuana is legal in the privacy of your own home, your own domain. You cannot smoke it publicly. As far as I know, there's no hotel property that allows it either on the strip or Fremont Street. They do not want it on their property, end quote. Caesars, for example, Caesars Palace, quote, marijuana use remains illegal under federal law, and the Nevada referendum and state law will specifically prohibit its use in public places. For these reasons, the consumption of marijuana will continue to be impermissible at all Caesars Entertainment properties in Nevada. MGM Resorts, quote, use of marijuana remains prohibited at our properties, notwithstanding approval of recreational use in Nevada, end quote. Now, this is just setting up for the Independence Day weekend to be a massive clusterfuck of tourists getting arrested, getting $600 misdemeanors for public toking, because you cannot legalize marijuana on a holiday weekend and expect all these tourists coming to the Las Vegas Strip who will legally be able to buy joints but have nowhere to smoke them in their hotel, nowhere to smoke them as a lounge, no casino they can go and smoke them in, no place in public they can go to, no pot lounges. I'll tell you how our people work. Because I would be doing this. I'll be buying my joint and slipping off to some corner, slipping off to some alley, going behind some dumpster somewhere in order to make that happen. That's what's going to happen there. You're going to see people breaking the law, and they're going to get caught, and it's going to leave a black eye on the tourist industry, and you're going to get a lot of people that will have the attitude of this is a bait and switch. Hell, I was planning my vacation to Vegas because you guys legalized weed finally, but then I got there, and you arrested me? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, including your misdemeanor criminal record. That doesn't stay in Vegas. That goes with you. Your misdemeanor criminal record becomes a part of your record in all states. You can be searched in every state. And again, remember, this public toking in Nevada isn't just a civil infraction ticket. It is a criminal misdemeanor. People will get criminal records on this 4th of July weekend when in good faith they thought they were obeying the law. They thought Nevada legalized and is okay to smoke pot. It is one of the most critical issues that we solve in the next oncoming years as we develop these legal marijuana markets to provide people, especially tourists who don't have their own home to go to, who can't use it in the hotel, to provide them a place where they can consume cannabis legally. What use is it to grant people some sort of right, to recognize a right of the people, and then legislatively make it impossible for them to exercise that right? That's no right at all. That's more of a tease, if you ask me. All right, folks, that's all the time we got for today and for this week. Thanks for joining us. We're back next week with a whole new set of shows here on the Marijuana Agenda. For everyone here at Delta 9 House and Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for being here. Support us at MJAgenda.com. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at MJAgenda.com.
You say you're free, you're planet, you're growing, you're giant, you're rolling, you're